You know, there's so many motivational and self-help and inspirational seminars out today, and they're wonderful. But I think that they're lacking in one way. They never show someone exactly how to apply it to a specific vehicle so that they experience it. Well, see, with Market America, we're going to teach you how to achieve your goals and your dreams through a specific vehicle so that you learn this process. And it begins by listing some things that we would like to have. Now, think about it. There may be something that you need or that you want, such as a new furniture set, or you want to take a vacation, or you want to get a new car. That's a fabulous goal. Maybe you could have gotten it anyway if you worked some overtime or cut out some extra expenses, maybe stopped going to bowling league or whatever and worked a little extra or a second job. So it doesn't really seem like a dream or a goal. Call it a reward. Call it an intermediate goal. Call it an objective. But when you're able to obtain that from your Market America business, what a fabulous demonstration to you and learning experience for you of how to translate a goal into reality through the business. And it's a process that we learn. And to everybody else around you, that demonstrates that the business is working. You can say, that's my Market America furniture. I got it from the business. That's my Market America car. We're taking our Market America vacation. And to them, that's as impressive as Elizabeth Weber's mansion or some incredible material possession that somebody earning hundreds of thousands of dollars a year has been able to obtain. It's just as powerful because it states that the business is working, and it also reinforces in your own mind, hey, I'm making progress, and you, in fact, are learning the process of turning thoughts, ideas, goals into reality. And when you learn this process, you become dangerous. In fact, you'll get to the point where anything you think, if you decide that you want it and then break it down and figure out how to get there, is already a reality. And I assure you that when people like Elizabeth Weber or Keith and Kim Doyle decide that they're going to reach a new level, or when Ben Gender decides he's going to reach a new level, it's already happened at the point that they made the decision. You see, because they've learned this process. So we list 5 to 10 things that we would like to have in ascending order. What I mean by ascending order, we put the smaller things first. We list them in order of how attainable they are. Now, that's usually determined by how much they cost, but there may be some other timing factors involved. So on this slide is an example of this process where we've listed 5 goals. You can list up to 10. And if you look in the left column under goal, it has to be debt-free except for mortgage, to pay off the credit card debts maybe. The second goal was a new home. The third goal was a new car. Then there was a short-term savings account. Then there was a long-term savings account. You know, a lot of times I see someone put down their first goal to be able to go to the convention. It's going to cost them an extra $900 or $1,200, and they want to earn it from the business. That's a fabulous goal. And then we quantify the required down payment, how much it's going to cost to get into that. And then in the next column, we write down the monthly income required. Now, if we're paying off a debt, it may be so much per month that we're paying towards that credit card or that debt. And when it's paid off, the money that we earmarked for it is freed up to be applied to another goal. So we have to remember to back those things out. If it's a down payment for a new home or a car, we would be putting so much away per month or toward it per month. But, you know, the point in which you reach the income level in the business where every month you're able to put that money away, isn't the goal really reached? Of course, there's an end point when we actually have accumulated the total amount that we can now purchase the item. But there's actually 2 goals. One is the down payment and being able to accumulate that down payment, and then actually the purchase when we move in or we acquire the property and can use it. Then we only have to support the carrying costs, the monthly carrying costs. So by quantifying a monthly income required for each goal, I can carry that forward in the next column and determine the cumulative monthly income required by adding each item together to get a total. And then, of course, I also have to remember to back out anything that I've already paid off, or any credit card debts or debts that I paid off, or any down payments that have been completed. And then that money is freed up for the next level. Now that I have the cumulative monthly income required to support that lifestyle, another way of saying it is the amount of money that you need to cover your total nut or your total expense, we can now translate that into a pen level. And how do I do that? I simply divide 1,500 to the total amount of money required. Now, sometimes for smaller goals, which require $300, $600, $900, we would just be hitting a threshold in the marketing plan. It would be like a quarter flush, a half flush, or three-quarter flushes. I'm going to $1,200, $2,400, or $3,600. Beyond that, though, I would divide $1,500 into the total amount of income because that tells me how many flushes I need in that month. Now, I don't do it with $2,100 because you don't have total control over the date or the timing of the $2,100. We know ultimately that that $1,500 will turn into $2,100 after I'm earning $1,500 almost every single week. There's a compounding effect that will lead to other people earning checks, and ultimately, on a solid leg, you will be getting $2,100 every week. But for the time being, we should focus on the $1,500 because we have a lot of control over that happening. So by dividing $1,500 into that, I can determine how many centers I need qualified. How many centers do I need qualified? Now, you can take one center and qualify it every single week and earn up to what? $4,500 to $6,000 at the professional coordinator level. In fact, completing one center and securing it and making it solid so that the job is done brings someone to at least the professional coordinator to supervising coordinator level. So at any rate, we can now coordinate the amount of income that we're earning per month to the pen level. And think about this business. If we're really on target to achieve our goals through the business, we have to be on target to hit a pen level because that's what the first downs and touchdowns are about in this business. That's the way the game works. Therefore, in order to achieve these goals, we have to have a target, a goal, a focus on the bullseye of hitting a pen level. Now that I've determined the pen level that I'm going to hit, I can set a target date. And in the beginning, it really is a target date. Now, in this chart, to make it timeless, we put how many years out it is. And I would also suggest that you adjust the date so that it reflects when you hit the level, not when you've actually accumulated enough money to make the purchase or to complete the down payment. But in my mind, once you've achieved the income level and pen level that's producing the money to make the monthly amount that you're putting away for a down payment or to meet the monthly amount that you've set as a goal to liquidate your credit card debt, you really achieved the goal. But you need to set an exact date, not just a year's out when you actually do this. And the closer we can line it up with reality, that the timing is such that it's on a Friday, and if you're planning to be on stage at a convention, you want to coordinate that date so that it reflects enough time for it to get checked and published so that you'll actually be on stage. But the key is we have to set a date. Now, in the beginning, this is a little bit of a guesstimate or an estimate. And the two relative things that determine when that date should be and make it as realistic as possible is, one, somebody's people skills. How confident are they in dealing with people? Now, if someone has no confidence, no experience in dealing with people, they're going to get it by doing the ABC pattern, the trial run, and plugging into the seminar system and the training system. And as their business develops, they're going to develop those skills. And I believe from many years of experience that someone who is very, very confident versus someone who has no experience or confidence whatsoever, there's a maximum of 1 year differential in timing to reach goals if they are coachable. So that's the biggest time difference that it can make. The other thing that helps determine a realistic target date is the amount of time that we're going to put in. Certainly, a person who's going to put in 5 nights a week or 6 nights a week is going to get there much quicker than someone that puts in 1 night a week. So the two variables to determine how realistic a date is and how soon a goal can be achieved is someone's confidence level in way of their people skills and organizational skills, motivational skills, and how much time they'll put in. Oh, by the way, the date may not be right in the beginning. You might have to change it several times. That doesn't matter because we now are going to be able to measure our progress against that date. And once we develop the detailed plan, we'll see if that date is realistic. If it's not, we have to either increase our goals and objectives and production levels in our detailed plan, or we move the date back. In either case, the date becomes self-adjusting. And by doing this, we actually get it right. But if we don't have a date to measure against, we can't begin to adjust it. Now, I want you to think for a moment. What happens when you do this with a new person? You know, so often people bring people into the business and they just forge forward. They're like a bull in a china shop, just trying to bring people in the business and going all over the place, trying to get things off the ground. And the person really doesn't go anywhere. In fact, it's kind of like you're pushing them. And if we were honest with ourselves, I think we'd have to admit what you're really doing is trying to get them to do the business so that you can succeed. You see, because you can't succeed without them succeeding. Therefore, you're trying to make them do the business for all of your reasons rather than their reasons. So when I bring somebody in the business, I put the brakes on. I think this is a critically important step. And I sit down with them and we talk about some of the things that they want, some of their reasons, some of their goals, objectives, and dreams. And we go through this process. This is actually in the career manual. You can actually go through the exercise. It's actually a workbook exercise in there. But it's critically important that I go through this with someone because now they can see what they want and how it's going to be translated in the business. When someone first comes in, it's a bunch of circles and nebulous concepts. It can be mind-boggling. They don't really understand all that. But when we focus on exactly what they want, some of their objectives and some of their goals, and I make them think about it, and then I show them how we translate that into the business, how we can determine the amount of money that's necessary to carry those things, and then how many income centers we would need, and what the pen level is, and the date. Now they begin to see a staircase of achieving their objectives, of changing their life. And the whole relationship starts to transform. They see the business totally different. And my relationship with them changes because it's about the things that they want rather than the things that I want. So I can now push their buttons. And I can say, hey, John, look, if you don't want to get those tickets for the convention, that's fine. I understand it. But you told me you wanted to be able to leave that job and give your kid this Ivy League school education and then be able, you know, to travel with your wife. If those things aren't that important, don't buy the tickets. But if they are, you know, this is what you got to do. So you see, it becomes about their reasons. And there's a totally different perspective on the business. It becomes their business. And my relationship with them starts to change because it's about their reasons. So now that we've figured out the pen level that you need to reach in order to have the income to achieve your goal, we can now figure out how many centers you need to qualify and how many legs you need to build in order to reach that goal. And it's basically two legs or two organizations per qualified center. So you see, we now have quantified what we need to do in building the business in order to be successful. You know, I can't help but think that everybody should be a director. I just can't understand why everyone's not. Now, if you think about it, a director earns $18,000 to $27,000 a month. That's incredible. And a lot of people say, well, I got problems. And I say, well, everybody's got problems. But if you were earning $27,000 a month or even $18,000 a month, would it make those problems any more manageable? Of course, their answer is, of course. Well, then why focus on the problem? Why not focus on the $18,000 to $27,000 per month and go on director so that those problems are more manageable? And when I look at what it takes to become a director, it just isn't that much. It isn't out of reach of anyone. We're only talking about developing 3 to 4 organizations over a 2 to 3 year period. And when I compare that to what has to be done in other businesses and other organizations, and people are doing it all the time with a lot more resistance, not nearly the great products that we have, archaic marketing plans, it baffles me. I know at the height of my career, I had 35 legs doing over $15,000 per month that all qualified at the same time for 6 consecutive months in order to hit the pen level and income level that I was at. So when someone tells me I can't do 2 to 4, man, I don't get it. I can't comprehend it. But honestly, each one of you certainly deserve to be a director, and who wouldn't want the income? So why not become one? So let me tell you what really stands between you and being director. For most of you, you already believe. It's not your belief level. It's not that you don't want to do it. It's not that you're not willing to work. I mean, if you could achieve that income, you would do whatever it takes. It's simply that you don't have the people to work with. You don't have the right people. And if you had the right people that were go now, wouldn't you do whatever it takes to build it? So it's just a matter of finding the right people. Will that be the case and you believe and you got the right attitude and you have the necessary knowledge, why don't you just go out and find them? It's real simple. You don't have anyone to go sponsor. You don't have anyone to get. Why? Because it takes something to sponsor people. You need to show the plan, and you really don't have anyone to show the plan to. You want me to prove it? If you had somebody to show the plan to, wouldn't you just go show it to them or bring your sponsor along if you're not at that stage where you can show it, to show it to them, or wouldn't you invite them to the meeting? You see, it comes right down to you don't have anybody interested, and you have to call people in order to show the plan. You don't have anybody to call because you don't have anybody interested because you don't have any possibilities. So you see, where the rubber meets the pavement is in developing possibilities. And we need a plan so that you do the things and have the people that are necessary and have the people that are interested in order to show the plan, in order to sponsor the people so that you have the people that you need to build the business. You'll do the rest of the basic five. It's just that you don't have the right people. So how do we do that? We have to break it down to developing possibilities. If we develop enough possibilities and we have people that are interested, say two per day, at the end of 2 weeks, you got 28 people that you're cultivating into possibilities that you're building interest with that are getting curious or interested. And at the end of a month, it would be 60 people that are becoming curious and asking questions about it. And if you had those people, couldn't you call them up about evaluating the program? See, and then you could call one person per week or one person per day or whatever is necessary to reach your goal. Now, let's determine how many people we actually need to guarantee each one of those legs qualifying or being over. Certainly, the marketing plan defines that it only takes two good people. But quite often, the people that we bring into business, their timing isn't right, or they're not ready to really go now, or they start out and something happens. Now, if you don't want your timing to be dependent on their timing, we need enough people in each leg that it reaches critical mass. And you can actually control the outcome by not just sponsoring one person in a leg. In fact, the program is designed where you can sponsor more than one person in a leg to accelerate your growth and control your success. And that's really what it's designed to do. Now, we did a survey with all the top earners and top minds in the business and the corporate team, and there was a consensus that when you have four people in a leg, four go now in a leg, it reaches critical mass and you can't stop it. They're going to do it with you or without you. You see, if you have one person, you have something to work with. If you have two, you have a little bit of synergy. If you have three, you have some momentum. And it's them all working together and having a common economic interest that creates the excitement and the momentum. When you have four, it hits critical mass. You just can't stop it. So let's operate on the assumption that we wanted to absolutely guarantee that we were able to qualify one to three legs. All we have to do is personally put in four go nows over the year. I don't want my timing to be dependent on their timing in case something goes wrong, somebody goes crazy, somebody moves away, somebody gets mentally constipated, somebody gets divorced, something happens on their work. Anything that could throw their timing off, I don't want my timing to be dependent on their timing, and I'm not going to leave anything up to chance. I'm going to have total control over reaching the goal, and it's only going to depend on me. Now, if we put four go-nows in per leg, you have a 99% probability of hitting that goal and that center qualifying every single month. If we only put two in, which is certainly your prerogative, you have probably a 75% probability of that leg qualifying within the year. And if it doesn't this year, it probably will next year. So it comes down to a decision, how much control do I want over my progress and hitting my goals? But then, if we look at that, if you were to qualify, let's say, three centers, your O1, your O2, and your O3, which requires building four organizations or four legs, and we were going to put four in each leg, that's 16. Now, let me show you what the human mind does. Immediately, that little negative voice, that little negative conscience, that little negative person jumps up on your right shoulder and says, "You can't do that. You haven't even sponsored two. Nobody likes you. You don't know anybody. Where are you going to get the people from? Who are you kidding?" And if the little positive voice doesn't have the logic to overcome that and a detailed plan where you know exactly how you're going to find those people, it's not going to happen because you can't accept it and you don't believe it. You see, the logical mind must understand how we're going to get there in order to believe it and accept it. And if you can't believe it and accept it, you're not going to act on it and you're not going to demonstrate that belief, which translates those goals and those dreams into reality. So we need a detailed plan. And in a detailed plan, we break down what has to be done into bite-sized pieces, into little steps. We actually build a staircase to the goal. Imagine standing in front of a building and saying, my goal is at the top of that building. And you take a running start. The building is 3 stories high. You take a running start and you lunge trying to reach the top of the building, to reach the roof. But what happens in reality? It's very unrealistic. You slam 3 feet up in the air right into the concrete wall and you slither down. But you're positive. So you get back and you take another start and you run even harder and you lunge and jump as high as you can and you hit the wall again. Well, your conscious mind begins to think, this is stupid and this hurts. But you're dedicated. You're not going to give up. So you go back and you run again, but this time you just kind of go through the motions and kind of half turn your back, knowing that you're really not going to reach the top. And isn't that what a lot of people do in the business? You see, that goal or that dream is a little bit out of reach. And when we define or quantify what we have to do to get there, it's something that you can't do all at once. So doesn't it make sense to put the brakes on, to stop and build a ladder up to that roof or to that goal, or to build a staircase of small steps with intermediate landing? It might take a little time to do it, but then we're definitely going to reach it. And now the logical mind says, yes, I can do this. And you just don't go through the motions. You start to climb the ladder or you start to walk up the stairs because you can accept and you know that you can take those individual steps or climb those individual rungs of the ladder because they're reachable. But it's the little rungs, the little steps or the steps in the stairway that lead to the intermediate goals, which leads you to the top of the building. You see, and this is what we do by developing a detailed plan. We break it down into what we have to do each month. And we do that by dividing our annual goal, our yearly goal, whatever has to be produced in the way of people or volume or legs developed, by 12. And that gives us a monthly goal. So we break the yearly goal down by dividing what has to be produced by 12 to get a monthly goal. Then we define a weekly goal by taking the monthly goal and dividing it by 4 weeks. Whatever has to be produced that month, we divide it up by 4 weeks. And then we take the weekly goal and divide it by 7 in order to get the daily goal. Now think about this. If the daily goal adds up to the weekly goal and the weekly goal adds up to the monthly goal, if you do the daily goal, you automatically hit the weekly goal. And if you hit the weekly goal, you automatically hit the monthly goal. And if you hit the monthly goal, you automatically hit the yearly goal. So it all depends on the daily goal. Life by the inch is a cinch. Life by the yard is hard. And if you refuse to go to bed each night before completing that daily goal, it becomes a habit. And by the end of a month, it will be a success habit. And by doing that daily goal, you've been hitting your weekly and monthly goals. It's incredible. More importantly, your subconscious mind and your conscious mind are able to accept the fact that it's going to happen. And as you begin to do it, you totally accept it because it is happening, because you're doing that daily and weekly unit and you know logically that it adds up to hitting the goal. And it's the same way we went to the moon. You see, it's the same way that Market America was built. This is how you turn dreams into realities. So let's further illustrate this example. On a monthly basis, if we had to show the plan to 4 people per month in order to sponsor 1 to 2 per month, and you figure out 16 people, if we were to put 4 in each leg in order to absolutely guarantee the goal, that would be 1 to 2 per month. So my monthly goal would be to show the plan to 4 per month in order to sponsor 1 to 2 per month. If my experience had proven that if I show the plan 4 times, I usually get 1 to 2 good people. And I would, of course, want to attend a seminar. Now I can break that down weekly. If I show the plan 4 times per month, that means I have to show the plan at least once a week. So 1 or 2 times per week. Now, How many people do I have to call in order to show the plan to one or two people per week? Let's suppose it was eight. Well, if I call eight per week to show two per week, I'm going to hit that. And then maybe in addition to that, I'm going to call my upline to get help wherever, report in, and attend two-second looks and bring two people from the people that I've been showing the plan to or the meetings that I've been holding to the second look. But then we have to break it down daily. And if we take what has to be produced on a weekly basis and divide it by seven, we have the daily goal. So if I have to call seven or eight people per week to show the plan one or two times per week, that means I have to call one person every day, which would equal seven or eight per week. Add two possibilities to my list, though. If I don't have any possibilities, I don't have anybody to call. And I always tell people to give themselves 2 weeks leeway in doing this because they're not going to have the people to call the first week or two until they have enough possibilities or beans in the jar that are being cultivated. But add two possibilities to the list per day would equal 60 per month. Within 2 weeks, it would be 28 per month, certainly 28 possibilities. Certainly by then, you're going to start having some people that are interested or curious that you can call. And then, of course, daily, we want to read our goal statement twice and listen to a tape. And there may be some other key result-producing activities in the way of retailing that we may want to add in there daily and weekly. But what I'm really focusing on here is the one thing that I know that you're missing, and that is the right people to build the business with. And if we put together a detailed plan that includes the activities and the functions necessary to have the people to show the plan to, then we'll have the people that we need to develop the business. So again, let's illustrate this. Let's take a very, very aggressive, lofty goal. Probably your goal is somewhat less than this. And if I can get you to see it and believe it and almost accept it here, certainly you'll be able to accept it for a goal that's less. We're going to qualify 3 to 4 centers, which will produce $27,000 a month. But we don't want to depend on anyone but you. And we're operating on the assumption that if I have 4 go-now leaders per leg, that leg reaches critical mass. There's so much synergy and momentum in that leg, and it's not dependent on any one person, and they're also producing people, that I won't be able to prevent that leg from going over. So 4 go-now leaders per leg would equal a total of 16 go-now leaders that I've identified and sponsored over the year. But you're not going to do that in 1 month. You're doing it over 12 months, month by month. So if we divide 12 months into that, that would be an average of 1.3 people per month, or 1.3 go-nows that you sponsor per month. Now, somebody in one of the Moving Up seminars in Utopia says, well, how do you sponsor a third of a person? And somebody else said, well, I've sponsored a lot of them. But all kidding aside, you can only really sponsor a full person. So that's 1 to 2 per month. But when we look at how this happens in reality, we have to build up momentum. We have to get some irons in the fire. So it's much more probable that we'd sponsor one in the early months. So let's suppose you kept up a pace of developing possibilities, which created interest, so that you had people to call, to show the plan to, and we produce one go now, or sponsor one go now for 8 months. The last 4 months, there's a buildup from the possibilities and the irons that we have in the fire that we were developing earlier on, the timing wasn't right with, and they start popping off later. And experience has shown consistently that I'm going to get more in the last 4 months than I did in the first 8 months from what I was developing. So if we can keep up a pace of sponsoring one for 8 months, then in the last 4 months, you're going to sponsor two for a total of 16. So we've developed a detailed plan of what we must do each month, each week, and each day. And now we proceed to write it out and read it twice a day. And that way we can monitor what we're measuring. We've created some measurements of what we want to do. So we can monitor now. We check where we are daily, weekly, monthly, and adjust. We modify this statement if necessary if we find that it's unrealistic. Or we increase our production quotas. We decide we're going to develop more possibilities. We meet with our sponsor, our upline mentor, regularly to review it. And we keep adjusting until the date and the production are in line with reality. We either move the date back or increase the production until we're on a track that's on target and we know that we're going to succeed. And now that we can accept that we can hit this because logically we see how it's going to happen, we start to visualize it regularly. We visualize earning the check. You might even want to get a check that you earn, a $300 check that you earn, and make a copy of it and white out the number and put in there $27,000 or $18,000. So you visualize opening the check. I visualize the pen level, the organization, the things that I want to achieve in the lifestyle. I go see the things that I want. I picture myself on the cover of the magazine. You see, now that we're visualizing it and we've set dates, we have dreams that are actually goals, because goals are dreams with deadlines. So let's recap. We have an annual goal, and we want to earn $109,000 to $327,000 per year. That's going to require developing two legs to earn $109,000 a year and up to four legs to earn $327,000 a year. So we're going through a process of translating this into a detailed plan. So if we look at the business in developing two organizations, let's suppose it's going to take three to four go now people so that we're not dependent on anybody else except yourself, and your timing isn't going to become dependent on other people's timing. You don't have to do that. It could be done with just one person in each leg, but you're leaving an awful lot up the chance that their timing will be right and that they actually do go now. And there's something about the synergy between people when we put more than one person in each one of those legs. Nonetheless, that's going to add up to $109,000 per year. It's a total of six to eight people that we're looking to identify that want the 2 to 3 year plan, that want to become unfranchise owners, and that want to go now. In the second example of developing three business development centers, we would have to build four legs. And let's suppose to absolutely guarantee, based on your own production, that they're going to qualify, that we put three to four go now people in and work with them. Well, that would be, of course, 12 to 16 people, and it would yield as much as $327,000 a year. And in either case, you have time freedom along with that. Okay, so if we break that down to each month, then looking at how that's going to work, in the first case with one income center having to find six to eight people, if we found one person every 2 months for the first 8 months, that would be four people. Then the last 4 months, now that we have some momentum, if we got one every month for the last 4 months, that would be the other four, or a total of eight. In the second example, with 12 to 16, with 12 I found one per month, I would have 12. But probably what's going to happen in the last 4 months, you would get two per month from the momentum that you have. And times 4 months, that would be another eight. So one per month for the first 8 months equals eight, and two per month for the last 4 months equals eight, which is a total of 16. Now, I break that down. What do I have to do each month in order to achieve that? Well, if I sponsor one per month, I'm going to have 12 to 16 at the end of the year. I service 10 customers. I work three levels in the ABC pattern, helping develop the people that I sponsored. And of course, we'll go into that when we go into the follow-up method and ABC pattern. But fundamentally, right now, so you understand it, it's how we build the business with a new organization, helping them activate and working from house to house. And then, of course, we're going to come to a monthly seminar. And fundamentally, those are the key result producing activities and the key things that we need to do each month in order to hit the annual goal. So now we can break it down further, but let's illustrate actually how this happens. We're actually building a staircase by dividing the annual goal into 12 monthly steps. I can climb up the staircase, and I know what my monthly steps are. I have to sponsor one, service 10 customers, work three levels over that four-week period down in the ABC pattern in my organizations, and attend a monthly seminar. So the monthly step equals the weekly step times four. And the weekly step then is going to end up equaling the daily step times seven. But right now, I'm working on the monthly step. So by achieving the monthly goal every month, you automatically achieve the annual goal. So now let's take the monthly step and break it down. By achieving the monthly goal every month, you automatically achieve the annual goal. The next step in the detailed plan is to take the monthly goal and break it down into a weekly goal, because you can't build the business 1 month at a time. We're going to build it a week at a time, and there's 4 weeks in a month. So if I break down what I have to produce or achieve over the month to hit the monthly goal and divide it by four, I'll have the weekly goal. And if you recall, I had to show the plan to four people in that month in order to sponsor one in that month. So that comes down to showing the plan once or twice per week. And if I follow up with one prospect And if I have to move 3 to 4 levels down in the ABC pattern from house to house doing meetings, if I break that down weekly, that would be 1 to 2 ABC meetings or trial runs per week. And, of course, I know that I'm going to bring people to one second look, and I'm going to be working with my 10 customers, so that's 1 to 5 customers because I'm not going to do it all in 1 week, and call the upline in order to stay in touch and get them to work with you. So if we illustrate that, we're still climbing the ladder, but we've made even smaller steps. By taking each step per week, each weekly goal adds up to the monthly goal. So the weekly goal is to show the plan 1 to 2 times, to follow up with one prospect, to move one level in the ABC pattern, to do 1 second look, and to service 1 to 5 customers. So the weekly goal times 4 equals the monthly goal. So if I hit the weekly goal, I automatically hit the monthly goal. And that's simply to sponsor 1 per month, service 10 customers, move 3 levels in the ABC pattern, and attend a monthly seminar. But I achieved that by hitting the weekly goal. So you begin to see that the detailed plan breaks it down into bite-sized steps. Well, when you think about it, you can't even take it 1 week at a time, because by the end of 7 days, you haven't done anything. You can only take it a day at a time. But we know that the weekly goal times 4 equals the monthly goal. So now if we take the weekly goal and break it down into daily steps, we'll automatically hit the weekly goal. So all we need to do is determine what we have to produce or what we have to accomplish in order to achieve that weekly goal and divide it by 7. So in looking at it, we're building a staircase of even small steps, little bite-sized steps, easy to take steps that you can accept that you can take, that you know that you can do. And what does it come down to? We're simply going to develop 2 possibilities per day and make 1 call, read our goal statement, and listen to a tape. And after 2 weeks of developing 2 possibilities per day, I have 28 people that are interested or curious. By the end of a month, I have 60. If you had that, do you think that you could make a call? You see, especially after we go through prospecting, recruiting, and sponsoring, and you see what to do. So those little steps, daily steps, add up to the weekly step. And if I refuse to go to bed at night before I complete the daily step, then I'm guaranteed to hit the weekly goal. Because the daily steps of developing 2 possibilities, making 1 call, reading a goal statement, listening to tape, add up to the weekly goal. So the process of developing a detailed plan breaks what we have to do down into little steps that we can accept. And you must be able to accept the daily unit. And if you understand this, the completion of the daily unit, which is something that you can definitely do and you accept, guarantees that you hit the weekly goal, which guarantees you hit the monthly goal, which guarantees that you hit the annual goal. So it takes 30 days to develop a habit. And over the next 30 days, if you refuse to go to bed before you complete that daily goal, you've developed a success habit. And success is a habit, and so is failure. So don't go to bed without completing that daily unit. And the weekly, the monthly, and annual goals happen automatically. But think about it. It's doable. When you think about developing 16 people or identifying 16 go-nows and you don't know where they're going to come from, it seems like an awesome task. Well, when you break it down to just developing 2 possibilities per day and making 1 call after the first 2 weeks of doing that and some other simple functions, it's believable. You can do it. And this is how every person who has risen to the top has gotten there. It wasn't huge things that they did. It was little steps that they took consistently, day after day, week after week, month after month. And it's nothing that has to totally upset the apple cart in your life. These are things that are manageable that you can do if you want to, if that 2 to 3 year plan is what you've really chosen, if you really have a goal and a dream that you want. And this is how goals and dreams are translated into reality. And this is something that thousands of people have done, and you certainly can do it too. And remember, the difference between success and failure is so simple. The individual who succeeded simply did what the individual who failed didn't do. You either develop a goal statement or you don't. You either develop a detailed plan and break it down or you don't. Now that we are developing the right attitude and acquiring the necessary knowledge, and now that we have set a goal and we have a detailed plan to reach our goal, we can focus on building the business. Now, one of the first goals that you must have is to build a retail base and some loyal customers. And in our business, that's very simple and very easy, as you'll see in a moment, because we have market-driven products that people really want and are looking for. They're cutting-edge products that don't clutter the supermarket or store shelves, competing for shelf space with hundreds of other Me Too products that are exactly alike. All we have to do is get some exposure using the merchandising techniques and tools that you're provided through the unfranchise system, and you'll be off and running. So the next component of the Basic Five is retailing and merchandising. And we'll be developing a one-to-one marketing business with preferred customers facilitated by the internet and e-commerce. And this is one of the most exciting facets of the business. Now this leads me to the retail coefficient. The retail coefficient is the amount of regenerated sales that are generated per unfranchised owner or distributor that repeat on a monthly basis. So we want to develop a good repeat business with regenerated sales from loyal users and loyal believers in the product. And this is easy to do because we're finding out what people want and bringing to them exactly what they want. But think about it. If you have 100 distributors, what does that mean if they're doing zero volume? That equals zero. If you have 100 distributors that are only moving or selling $10 worth of products, it's only $1,000 volume. By the same token, if you only had 10 distributors that had $1,000 per month in regenerated sales, that's $10,000 per month. And if you had 100 distributors with $1,000 per month in regenerated sales, that's $100,000 in volume. So the higher the retail coefficient, the fewer distributors that we need to qualify for checks under the marketing plan, and the less people it takes to earn more money. And if you have more people with a higher retail coefficient, naturally, you're going to make more. So retail really builds your business. And it begins by using and sharing the products. You see, I believe that more product is moved simply by people using it and then somebody seeing them use it and asking them, what's that? Or running into somebody that's having a problem and we have a product that solves that problem. And you don't have to sell anything. All you do is tell the story of your own personal experience. And they say, well, where can I get some of that stuff? So retail builds your business first by using and sharing the products. And we really don't have to sell at all. We simply share our experiences because the products work for us. The second is transfer buying. Frankly, I won't even work with anybody that isn't on transfer buying because in a way, they lack belief in the business. Let me ask you something. Would you go to a restaurant where the restaurateur wouldn't even eat at their own restaurant? Of course not. And you see, it comes down to fundamentally believing in the business and the products that you have and becoming a product of the product. And the reason I don't work with somebody that's not on transfer buying isn't because it's a requirement. It's not a requirement of the company. It's a requirement for success. We can't require success. Here's why. I'm concerned that an individual that doesn't go on transfer buying lacks common sense. And you don't have to be brilliant or smart to build this business. In fact, it's a lot of the very smartest people that have the most difficulty building the business because they spend all their time figuring out how everything won't work. Have you ever met somebody like that? You know, I always use the example, what would happen if Thomas Edison spent all his time figuring out how the light bulb wouldn't work? Why? We'd be sitting around in candlelight or with oil lamps. Okay, but transfer buying is simply transferring dollars out of retail stores for products that you're already buying into your own business so that you make a profit and you experience the product and you save money and you have a better product. Now think about it for a minute. If you owned a grocery store, would you go to the supermarket for the exact same products that you had on your grocery store shelf that you were able to buy at wholesale? You wouldn't buy them from a supermarket at retail. That'd be stupid. If you owned a gas station, you wouldn't go to the automotive store and buy the same lubricants that you had on the racks at your gas station from them at retail when you got it at wholesale. That's just common sense. So when someone gets into the business, one of the first things they want to do is window shop the mall without walls. Go through and look at all the products. In fact, you should get a transfer buying shopping list, which is in your price list, and go down it and look at all the products that we have in the mall without walls. Because you have access to a whole mall without walls at wholesale prices. and identify products that you're already buying, the same type of product, or products that you wish you could buy. And simply transfer those dollars out of retail stores by putting it on your own transfer buying order. And then it'll come to you monthly. And you know, we're all creatures of habit. It's kind of funny. We wait until we run out of something, and quite often we have to run out to the convenience store and pay twice the money for what we needed because we didn't plan ahead. And that's really stupid. But you know, what we can do here, this is really the age of convenience and the age of home shopping anyway, by placing a transfer buying order, we have a standing order and it comes to us every single month. One should at least be buying the things that they know that they're going to sell every month. Then on top of that, they can add on the other items. It just doesn't make sense to buy products from other companies. Procter & Gamble isn't going to pay you to use your own products. Colgate-Palmolive is not going to pay you to use your own products. General Nutrition Stores is not going to pay you to use your own products. But if you understand this, when everybody's on transfer buying, you're getting BV credit, and it's actually like an annuity before we ever start selling because it's building up BV, and each individual's saving a lot of money by not paying retail. So it only makes sense. More importantly, we become a product of the product. And the more products you experience, the more opportunities you have to share a product with someone when you see them having a difficulty or they mention a problem that they have, and we have a product that you've experienced that solves that problem. Or if they're over at your house, they see you using products. They see you putting some purple powder into a little cup and slamming it down like a shot of red eye, or maybe sipping it with a straw out of a cocktail glass. And, of course, that's OPC3. They say, what's that? And then you tell them what you've experienced with it, the unbelievable benefits, what it's done for your health. And before you know it, they say, well, geez, where can I get some of that stuff? And before you know it, they lead to other customers. So more product is sold because people ask two words. Actually, this is an $80 billion phenomenon. It's bigger than Madison Avenue. It's bigger than TV. More product is sold in this industry simply because somebody sees a product or sees you using it and they ask, what's that? And all you got to do is tell the story. And then we want to specialize in a store. Understand that Market America's Mall Without Walls is in so many different multi-billion dollar markets, and there's so many products, and as we expand things through one-to-one marketing and mass customization, we'll be bringing people almost anything that they want. E-business and the internet will allow us to create a virtual mall where we'll be able to get people all types of products. But in order to develop a strong retail coefficient, it's been proven that it's smart to begin by specializing in a store. And what I mean by that, pick a product that hits your hot button that you really like and learn everything about it. By going to the career manual, you can learn the special benefits, the special features of that product, the price justification, and the merchandising technique. Each store and each product has a methodology or a tool that'll actually move it for you. And if you use that tool, you'll be getting the necessary exposure. Now, if you really understand that these are unique products and they're market-driven, all we need to do is get the exposure, and you're going to have a certain number of people that want them. Then all you need to do is take the order. So we use merchandising techniques and tools in order to build the business. And that can be anything from trial size marketing to using counter displays to custom blend clinics to video marketing where we hand out a video to the OPC3 questionnaire and retail method. And then this leads us to the preferred customer program. As customers buy products, we can introduce other products to them. And when they start repeating, we want to make them into a preferred customer. And you want to have a goal to develop 10 preferred customers over the first 90 days. And we'll talk in a couple minutes a little bit about why that's so important and how you actually do it. Now, our retail and merchandising methodology is really driven by one-to-one marketing and mass customization. And I think it's critically important to understand how the process works from a macrocosm. If you can't get a snapshot in your mind of what we're doing and how this works and how powerful it is and how solid it builds the retail base of regenerated sales, you really don't understand the business and you don't have the logic and the reason to go forward and participate in this. But these are real fundamentals of the business. And remember, the difference between success and failure is real simple. The individual who succeeds simply did what the individual who failed didn't do. So if you're not doing these things, you're not going to have a solid business. You're not going to make the big money. So Looking at the next slide, we can walk through how the one-to-one marketing process and the preferred customer system actually work. See, Market America is a product brokerage company and a one-to-one marketing company. And what we really do as a product brokerage company is we identify market-driven products and new cutting-edge product breakthroughs, things that nobody else really has, and we bring them to market. And we do this by finding out first what people want. See, most companies decide, well, we're going to sell this or we're going to sell that. And then they try to push it on people, and they try to merchandise it and market it and advertise it and brainwash people to get them to use it. And that's what most people don't like. We kind of do the reverse. We find out what people are looking for and what people want and then bring it to market. And we do this through our unfranchise owners and through our distributors actually identifying what people want because they have the relationships with the people. So what we do then is we obtain exclusive proprietary rights to bring these products into our mall without walls. And we market these products exclusively through our unfranchised owners. And we also, of course, have distributors and sales representatives that market the products, which we refer to as customer managers. Now, we also are developing and offering customized products specifically for customers through our unfranchised owners, which we refer to, of course, as UFOs. Now, Market America is really a cross or a hybrid between franchising and direct sales. You know, we like Ananta franchise because we use the same uniform systemization and required ways of doing things that you see in franchising. But, of course, we eliminate the prohibitive startup costs and franchising fees and the royalties and restrictive territories and restrictive hours. So we call ourselves the unfranchise. And each unfranchise owner or distributor or customer manager collects data on what customers want. Then that information is fed into the company's database. Then as a product brokerage company, we use data mining and we source out what the customers want and we bring it directly to them through our UFOs or customer managers, or we can ship it directly to them on their behalf and then the UFO or customer manager gets credit for it. And of course, just like any franchise has merchandising techniques such as McDonald's with its golden arches and all its gimmicks, we have merchandising techniques that we provide you that are tried, tested, proven methods and tools to move the products. But then the products that we take on are in such high demand and so remarkable that we have customers who refer other customers. Word of mouth is an extremely powerful form of advertising. I mean, would you believe TV or the newspaper, or would you believe a friend more? Someone that's already used something and their recommendation. And this is really what the binomial marketing system promulgates and spreads. So the most popular products that are in highest demand and therefore proven to be market-driven, we put into our mall without walls to make them available to all unfranchised owners and customer managers to offer to all their customers and to market over the internet on their websites. Now, if we click forward to the next part of this slide, you'll see that each UFO or customer manager develops and manages a portfolio of preferred customers. This is an essential, critical process and a fundamental of the business. Now, the company provides the merchandising systems and tools as well as custom web pages for developing these customers. And then, of course, our products are in such high demand that often customers refer other customers. So each UFO is developing new customers, which is creating a cash flow and immediate profit in their pocket so that they have money coming in right away, right off the bat from the start. And that kind of helps pay the way when they're starting their business. Now, some customers become distributors or UFOs because they fall so in love with the product and they know other people that want it that they request to become one of your customer managers, distributors, or UFOs. But some others order once in a while, occasionally, but still others become repeat customers or preferred customers. And these are the ones that we really want to focus on. So each UFO manages a portfolio of preferred customers with whom they've developed relationships. And they not only service these customers, but they also collect data on what they want. So if you click again, you'll see the slide expands and shows that additionally, each UFO, each unfranchised owner expands distribution by developing and managing a distribution organization of other UFO and customer managers, who also in turn manage a portfolio of preferred customers on whom the company is also collecting data, because everyone is feeding this data from surveys and sales to the company. So as a result, the company is able to track sales and data on what hundreds of thousands of customers buy and want. Then as a product brokerage company, we simply source it out and deliver what large numbers of customers individually want and need. So what do we sell? Well, whatever people want, whatever people need. Now, by advancing the slide again, you can see that we also use internet. We use an internet to facilitate one-to-one marketing and mass customization. And each UFO is tied into the company's computers over the internet. And they're also provided with a customized website, and this enables them to communicate and to interact with their organization of UFOs and customer managers, and it enables them to track what customers want, and it enables them to survey their preferred customers and feed the data to the company. It also enables them to take and process orders using e-commerce. If we advance the slide again, we see that now it enables them to attract new customers also using the internet search engines and their custom web page. And we teach you how to do that. Now, all this data and information is fed into the company and is tracked to facilitate one-to-one marketing and to identify products that individual customers want so that Market America can bring them to them. So through marketamerica.com and morebv.com, and each unfranchiser's unfranchised owner using their name.com and the custom distributor websites, as well as having access to the company's computers, we're able to interact with all UFOs, with customer managers, and with preferred customers, as well as manufacturers, to facilitate one-to-one marketing and mass customization. So you see, each UFO has a home-based business that can have a custom web page. And customers can order having a toll-free number, or by fax, or by mail, or directly from the distributor. Or they can order over the internet using e-commerce, but each customer who does business over the internet has a personal guide. And that is the customer manager or the unfranchised owner, and what a difference that makes. It's a friendly voice who knows them and cares about their orders and business and is there to help them. Then Market America, as a product brokerage company, sources out and supplies the product for these orders, and we can even handle the shipping if need be. Consequently, Market America is collecting data and tracking the sales on what literally millions of customers want, and it uses the information to source out new products. And then the company also is establishing relationships with manufacturers, which will supply the product. So we are tied in over the internet and developing relationships with manufacturers that can provide customized products to preferred customers. Of course, it's done through our unfranchised owners and UFOs that can get the information necessary from the customer to customize the product. And it's worth understanding a little bit about the various forms of customization when we do this. Now, collaborative customization is when a manufacturer can customize a product specifically from scratch for a customer. Who got the information to customize it for the customer? Why, you did, the UFO or customer manager. Now, how's that going to happen in a store or in mass merchandising or mass marketing techniques? That's why one-to-one marketing is necessary. Then adaptive customization is where a customer can select options so that the product can be modified to be exactly what they want. Transparent customization is where we find out what a customer wants through surveys that are conducted by the unfranchised owner and information that's collected into our database, and then we source out and find it for them and bring it to them. Now, transparent customization is currently our primary focus because it's the greatest opportunity at hand. And then there's also adaptive customization. That's where we personalize a standardized product with the customer's name or maybe a color selection or other personal design or some special selection on the product. So we then ship the customized product to the UFO or customer manager so that they can deliver it, or we can have it delivered directly from the manufacturer to the customer. And, of course, the distributor UFO would get credit for the sale. Now, as time goes on, We'll develop a virtual mall using e-business over the internet where we interact with vendors and, you know, literally hundreds of vendors and manufacturers to source out products that customers have requested and want, and have the manufacturers ship it directly to the preferred customer. And of course, again, the UFO or customers or distributor will get credit for it. And the day will come where almost anything someone wants or needs, they'll be able to get through a Market America unfranchised owner, person, or over the internet. So imagine if every one of your distributors of UFO just had 10 preferred customers. I mean, that would mean that you have literally hundreds or even thousands of preferred customers in your organization. Now, if we just identified one product that each customer wanted over the next quarter or each quarter, and let's say it just cost $30 and had $25 BV, that would mean $25,000 in new BV coming up your organization. Would that impact your business? Would that earn you some more checks? Would that solidify things? So you see, it's all about more BV. And of course, for each individual that got the order, more retail profit. Now, a natural extension of this is you start finding certain products that become very popular that are being ordered by many people. So the products that are most popular and most frequently ordered are truly market-driven, and therefore they're put into the mall without walls for everybody to merchandise to their customers. Now, what about this mall without walls? The mall without walls is divided into divisions or stores or product divisions or product categories, which all represent billion-dollar markets. So as we identify products that people want, we move them into the mall without walls for everybody to merchandise. And each store is really a business unto itself with its own merchandising tools, its own masthead, its own literature. And you can specialize in any one of these stores and not do any of the other stores. Yet you might meet someone who has an inclination in a different market or a different area that you can bring into the business, and then they can specialize in that store. And it gives you greater market breadth. Then after you specialize in one store, you can expand and move into merchandising products from other stores. But as we identify hot trends, market-driven products, or products that we are told that people want through our distributors, through our franchise owners, and through our customers, we add stores. So there's always new developments. You can count on one thing. If there's something hot out there, if there's something that's really market-driven, you don't have to go to that opportunity because it'll be brought in under the Market America's Mall Without Walls. So new stores and more products are always being added, and there's always another store that's either being renovated or open. So we're always on the cutting edge of what's happening. We're always where the action is. So now let me focus a little bit on how we actually develop retail. And I like to call this an overview of retailing. First, we need to understand very clearly that the products in Market America are market-driven. People order them. You don't need to sell them. They're things that people are looking for. They're not Me Too products. They're cutting-edge products. They're unique products that solve problems, that do what they say they do. So as a result, when one person finds out about them, they usually spread the word to other people. And if we can simply get some exposure, because these are market-driven products that people are looking for, if we get enough exposure, you're going to have a certain percentage of those people that want the product. So all we have to learn to do is some merchandising techniques that expose the product, then people will want the product, and they're going to come to order. Now, I always laugh at the person who says, well, I can't sell. Well, what are you going to do when somebody comes to order the product because the word got out or because we use one of these merchandising techniques and they find out about it and they ask for it? Are you going to take the order? Oh, no, you're not allowed to. You can't sell. And really, as silly as that sounds, it's the truth. You don't have to really sell the product. And then, of course, the second methodology or step in retailing is to get on transfer buying. You need to be a product of the product. The biggest thing that generates sales is someone seeing you use the product and asking, well, what's that? Then all you need to do is tell the story. Or you're put in a situation where you see them getting grease on their hands from a car, or they're painting and they're getting paint on their hands. And you can't help but tell them about Clear Shield, you know? Or you see somebody that's having a weight problem. You can't help but tell them about the South Beach Diet or Thermochrome. Or you see somebody that's having, you know, some arthritic problems or some degenerative disease or some stiffness or a sports injury. How can you help but tell them about OPC3? So you see, by using the products, all you need to do is tell your own story. But it's extremely important to specialize in a store and learn the merchandising techniques as well as the special benefits, special features, and price justification of that product. Then all we need to do is get exposure using the merchandising techniques, and you'll start collecting orders. But in doing so, we gain product knowledge, and that's the benefits and the features, the price justification, the objectives, and how to handle the common, simple objections, which are really buying signals, and learn how to employ a merchandising technique, and then we develop a target list of people that might be interested in the product and use the merchandising technique starting with them. And in the process, you'll develop customers. And those customers that repeat, we're able to introduce new products to them, and they become what we call preferred customers. And, of course, you can use your custom website and e-commerce to develop this simply by getting a website and tying your customers into it, passing out business cards with your website on it, having flyers, telling everybody about it. Before you know it, not only will the search engines be attracting people, but word of mouth will attract people, and your own customers will attract people to your website, and you'll be getting more orders. So the whole formula comes down to exposure equals interest. All you need to do then is tell the story, and then you take orders. And this creates what I call the retail coefficient, where you have regenerated sales every single month. And as you duplicate the business through other unfranchised owners and building an organization and expanding distribution, the retail coefficient will be high throughout the organization by duplicating this simple methodology of developing retail. So the first step is using the product. And remember, the reason for that is two words lead to more retail sales and customers than anything else. And that is because you're a product of the product. And using the product, people come over your house and they see that little purple jar of powder or one of the isotonics or Clear Shield or you using Friction Free or using EcoSol to get a spot off the driveway, oil droppings or cleaning a grill. And what do? They say, "What's that?" And all you have to do is tell the story. And remember, it's an $80 billion phenomena. All you got to do is be a product of the product, and you're going to find that you start getting orders. Then once you become a product of the product, we want to start utilizing merchandising techniques that move the product for us. You see, we just don't come out with products and say, "Here they are, buy some, put them in your closet, try to find out a way to move them." We actually, as an unfranchised company, develop merchandising techniques and tools that move the product for you. So while you're at work all week long, you have orders coming in, and when you are actually merchandising or selling through a clinic or working with people, you have a methodology that's a tried, tested, proven method. And it might be a trial size marketing where we pass out trial sizes. People use it, it works, and they want to get more of it. Video marketing, such as with Friction Free, where we compare Friction Free to all types of other products out in the market and just wipes them away. And all you have to do is pass those videos out to places of business that are in the automotive industry. Counter displays that you can put up in service establishments. The OPC3 evaluation and retail system. I mean, we all know people that have health problems. They fill out the evaluation. It leads them to trying out OPC3, and they become loyal customers. Cosmetic consultations and clinics, especially with special blend that locks somebody in. They're just amazed. It's like magic. Security seminars, jewelry shows, referral marketing, and then using the preferred customer system to give people discounts for leading to other customers. Commercial sales, and we have special techniques for different commercial sales markets, such as EcoSolve, target mailings, and then just simple demonstrations. These products are very, very easy to demonstrate. The Clear Shield demonstration, where we put a little piece of tinfoil in our hand and put some muriatic acid on it, and it starts smoking and burning, but it doesn't burn your hand because your hand's been covered with Clear Shield. Pretty impressive. Make sure that you read the career manuals exactly how to do that. Just don't go out and do it from what I've said. You have to do it right. And then, of course, we have brochures and catalogs for every store and all the products for every store in the Mall Without Walls. And you can pass out those brochures or those catalogs, and it's going to bring orders in. You take the order, you send it in the company, we'll ship it out, or you can get it and deliver it. But a real great little tip is to put stickers with your name, address, and phone number on every single brochure or product that you put out there, because it's going to bring you back repeat sales and new sales. So really, how simple is it? We start out by using the products. How many do you use? and how many more products could you use? Because the more products you use, the more experiences you'll have, and the more opportunities to bring up a product when you see somebody having a problem or it comes up in conversation or they see you using the product. People ask. Opportunities come naturally, and when it comes up, if you've used the product, all you have to do is tell the story. And that'll put you on your way, along with using merchandising techniques to developing 10 preferred customers and earning your foundation pin, which is a stepping stone to becoming an unfranchise owner. Every unfranchise has to have a solid retail base by merchandising the products, and it's so simple if you just follow these techniques. But let me share with you one of the most amazing things about retail. You can totally erase all your business expenses by simply doing part three of the basic five, retailing and merchandising. But it isn't really retailing, it's retelling the story, T-E-L-L-I-N-G. And it all starts with your retail business. And an extremely go-now distributor who really wants that 2 to 3 year plan and is really going to be go-now and an unfranchised owner might incur the following yearly overhead to earn $109,000 per year. Now, think what you'd have to spend anywhere else to earn $109,000 per year, both in the way of money and time. Well, you got an annual renewal of $49.95. You got a Pro Pack renewal, and you can just click through these of $4.99. You have second looks, two per month at about $5 each, $120. You're going to go to a basic five, one per quarter at least. That's $15 each, $60. You got local seminars, that's $100 because you do four per year at around $25 each. A district rally, $40 one time a year. A regional convention, $65. Maybe an additional expense of traveling that regional convention, staying overnight or travel is $250. Then you go to leadership school. That ticket's $175 for 3 days of intensive leadership training. The additional expense of hotel, airfare, or meals could be as much as $1,000. Then the national convention, the ticket is $250 for a full package ticket for 4 days of intensive training and experiences and coaching. Additional expenses might be as much as $1,500 for hotel, airfare, meals. Then voicemail, about $30 per month, which really doesn't cost you money. It saves you money because it cuts your phone bill from having to make recalls and calling numerous people when you can call, make just one call and get them all the message. But that's around $360. Long-distance phone bill, maybe $1,200, around $100 per month in increased cost if you're on voicemail. Business cards and forms, around $50. Internet, $25. Tapes and support tools, $250. And there's some other internet sign-up fees that, you know, might add a little bit of money to that. But it basically comes up to $5,993. At any rate, under $6,000. And that's around $500 per month. And this figure, you have to remember, is an expense that are tax deductible. So that's a tax write-off. So what about time? How much time do we have to put in addition to the money to leverage that $109,000 per year in income that could grow far beyond that? Well, second looks, we're going to do two per month. That's 2 weekday evenings per month for 90 minutes. Then we have to go to some seminars, a basic five, local seminar, district seminar. That's 9 Saturdays per year. Then, of course, the regional convention, the leadership school, and the national conventions, just 3 weekends per year. I mean, how much of your life have you wasted up to now and not gotten what you wanted? What's a little bit of time, you know? A little bit of time dedicated to something that could change your life. But now, how would you like to travel to all the conventions and seminars which you have a great time at and you learn a tremendous amount and have all of those business building tools, the ProPack, voicemail, etc., without having to take any money out of your pocket? In other words, what I'm about to tell you is that the retail can actually pay the overhead of your business and pay your way. The goal should be to develop a retail business over the course of your 2-year business plan that covers all of your overhead, and to generate a retail profit of $500 per month to cover that. So the goal is simply this: move $1,500 to $1,800 per month at full retail. And believe me, our retail prices are price pointed correctly. We compare them against all types of comparable products to make sure that we're price pointed below the competition. Not that there's any real competition, because our products are unique and really not like anything else out there, but they are price pointed correctly, and they're a good deal. I know that people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. And if I'm giving them a great price, then they're going to want to buy. So they're price pointed correctly. Now, that's $1,000 to $1,200 per month at wholesale, and that's $800 to $900 BV per month. Boy, that helps the business. Now, let's continue to break this down into small chunks. If you divide 800 BV to 900 BV by 4.3, because there's 4.3 weeks in an average month, you come up with a figure of 200 BV per week. Now, this comes down to fundamental goal setting again, doesn't it? Here are some examples of what a 200 BV per week retail business might look like so you can kind of get a picture of it in your mind and realize it is really not that much. Example one, one case of OPC3 per week. Example two, 2.5 sets of VitaShield per week. Example three, have a Motives consultation and one Motives clinic. Example four, 2 regular Thermochrome customers, 3 regular Isotonic customers, and 1 VitaShield every other week. Now think about what this will mean. I mean, it just isn't that much. Anybody can develop it. You'll be setting the example and pace as a leader, which is going to increase your retail coefficient throughout your group because people do what you do, not what you say, and you can show them how to do it. And you're demonstrating that it can be done so it's believable. And you'll have BV to place downline to help other go-now distributors in your group earn checks faster and solidify your organization and to leverage growth and to leverage the motivation factor. And you'll be constantly learning from the best in the business and passing it on to your group. Powerful, powerful benefits. So, what am I getting at? I mean, what's this all about? You build your retail business. You make it your goal to develop a retail business that generates 200 BV per week. And you use the retail profits to make your business debt-free. Now, after your business is generating huge commission checks and everything's paid for, hey, that turns into additional profit that you don't have to plow back into the business. But you'll be able to attend all the local and national events, and that takes that excuse away. People say, I can't afford it. Hey, let's roll up our sleeves and get busy moving some product. Secondly, your retail profits will pay for all of the expenses. And then you can take all the business expenses and deduct them from your income tax return so the government helps pay for it. And it's totally legitimate. And here's what could happen. Take a look at this diagram. Simply by doing that and teaching others to do the same thing, and if you lead by example, they're basically going to duplicate what you do, and you know how to teach them how to do it. What's going to happen? If you just have 25 distributors in each organization times 200 BV per week, that's $20,000 BV, and you would be earning $2,100 a week. And if you think about it, the fundamental that allowed it to happen was the retail coefficient and the fact that you were developing preferred customers and showed others how to do it. That, my friends, is a solid business. And remember, what's the difference between success and failure? The individual who succeeded simply did what the individual who failed didn't do. It's just that simple. And these are things that anybody can do. We're not talking about moving hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of sales or writing tens of thousands of dollars worth of orders. We're talking about something that any average person can do if they simply follow the plan and master number 3 of the basic 5 fundamentals of the business. Now, it's very important to understand how one-to-one marketing and mass customization work in our program and how it's driven by the preferred customer system. Now, this ultimately drives regenerated retail sales and increases the retail coefficient. And ultimately, it creates an ever-increasing stream of BV up your organization. And this concept is really the mission and central focus of Market America. So this is what we're about. So what is one-to-one marketing? It's really the process that identifies your best customers by which information is gathered to identify their specific needs and preferences to create a lifetime value by providing them those things that they want and that they need. So instead of coming out with products and just mass merchandising them and advertising to everybody the same message, we find out what individuals want, each individual customer, and then we source it out and bring it to them. That's what one-to-one marketing really is about. Lifetime value is the current value of a customer based on the expected purchases, referrals, and knowledge of other customers' tastes and preferences, and help in designing new products over the customer's lifetime of patronage. So we're working with that customer, and we're looking for what we call share of customer. The more things we can provide each customer, because the more we know about what they want and the more we know about what they need, the greater your overall volume is going to be, because the greater volume you're going to have per customer. It's extremely important. And there's a loyalty factor, because once you know what they want and you're providing them what they want, they don't want to go anywhere else. And as time goes on, you'll be able to provide each customer more and more of the items that they need. I can see the day in the future where almost anything somebody wants, they'd be able to get through their customer manager or unfranchise owner.
This concludes this portion of the program. To continue, please insert the next CD.